But first thing we're going to do is we are going to open up to John 15. So open up your Bibles to the book of John, not first, not second, regular John, chapter 15. And I am going to be using the New Living Translation. That might be a little bit edgy. I know we're kind of like an NIV church, so New Living is a little bit edgy for us. And I got it up here on the screen if you have your NIV. I chose this because I thought that they New Living translates concept by concept, and I thought that the way they translated some of these things really hit home for what I feel like I want to talk to you about. So we're going to read through the entire chapter first to get a big overview of it, and then we're going to break it down from there. So John 15, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great... this brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as my Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything my Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command, love each other. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me. The world would love you as its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you, and if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all of this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in scriptures. They hated me without cause. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Dear God, I thank you so much for the word that you've given me, and I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that these would be your words and not mine. And I pray that you would help each person in here to have an open and receptive heart and would be seeking you. Lord, be with us. Help us to be strengthened as we leave from here today. And in your name, amen. All right. Today, I want you to leave having claimed a promise. And the promise is simple. He says it all throughout this. He says, remain in me. Remain in me. And the second part of that, and I will remain in you. He starts out by kind of defining roles here. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So it's his job to be the vine, and it's our job to be the branches. Yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, you will produce fruit. And in this, Jesus kind of lays out this roadmap for joy. And he says, if you remain in me and you obey my commandments to love as I have loved, you will be given my joy. And just starting there, Jesus is giving us this clear guidelines on how to have a joyful life. He says, I have told you these things so that you're going to be filled with my joy. But that kind of leads us to this idea. So remain in me. What does that mean? What is he asking us? Yes, raise your hand if you would like to live a joyful life. I would like to live a joyful life. And I want to know what it means for me to remain in him so that I could have that joy and that joyful life. And the biggest thing I want to put here is remaining in him is like being steadfast. And I want to take a little bit to set this up for you. So I get the privilege of teaching a Bible class here at Citrus Heights. And I have 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th all in one class. And there's 19 of them. And it's a great time. We get to talk about all sorts of things that they're going through in middle school. And one project that I had them do, we were talking about respect and respecting others and kind of having our own identity in Christ and what that means. And I had them develop their own personal crest, like a medieval crest. So they used to have it on like their armor and around on big banners. So they designed theirs. And I have this one student, his name's Sammy, and he designed his. And I found out after he turned it in, from the time I assigned it, I think he worked on it for about 20 minutes, like an hour every night. So he put a lot of thought into this, and he put a lot of work. And here's Sammy, and here's what his crest looked like. And it kind of tells you a lot about Sammy. So Sammy, if you see in the top left, he's got a guitar. He plays the guitar, right? All good people play the guitar. And on the top right over there, he has a pencil and a paintbrush because he's very artistic, as you can see. And he's got the lion because he says he's bold. And he feels like God's called him to be a bold person. And he's got the soccer because he's athletic and he loves to play sports. And if you notice in the background, he's got this tree. Can you guys kind of see the tree coming out of the back? And when he's explaining this in front of the class and me, he says, I have the tree and it growing out in the roots because I want to be steadfast in my faith. And I thought, wow, for an eighth grader, that's pretty deep. I said, you want to be steadfast in your faith? And he's saying, yeah, that's really important to me. As I get older, I want to be steadfast in my faith. And that has been a driving idea. And I want to tell you a little bit about a specific type of tree. Have you guys ever seen a weeping willow tree? They're beautiful, right? They're beautiful, and I found this awesome picture of one. So here's a weeping willow tree, if you've never seen one. Oftentimes in Florida, we find them around water. And they have these huge, long branches that hang down low. And when I was little, I always told my dad, I was like, I want to get a weeping willow tree at our house. They're so pretty. And he always said no. And I was like, why? They're so beautiful. Wouldn't we put a weeping willow tree everywhere? Does anybody know why we don't put weeping willow trees everywhere? They kill things. Weeping willow trees are really interesting. Let me read you some information about some weeping willow trees. Weeping willow trees seek out water. Their roots will grow faster and thicker where they happen to encounter wet soil because they love water. Weeping willow roots invade and clog underground pipes. This is where much of their bad reputation comes from. Still, a weeping willow tree can interfere with underground lines that should be planted at least 50 feet away from any underground water, gas, sewage, or electrical lines. That's not all. Weeping willow tree roots are aggressive, invasive, and they can spread up to 3 times the length of the tree, from the trunk to the canopy. The roots often line close to the soil surface, causing bumps in the lawn, which interfere with mowing. They can also lift up cement patios. This tree is great. Isn't it beautiful? Remember that. Weeping willow tree roots can also damage underground water, sewer, and plumbing lines. And then I like this. It's no longer the warning of what they do. Now they're calling you to action with this stage. Never plant a weeping willow tree or any other tree with a huge root system near a septic tank drain field, as the roots could cause major damage. All willow trees are short-lived, only about 30 to 50 years, depending on how much space they have to grow and how abundant their water supply is. So initial pruning is necessary to help a weeping willow grow a strong trunk and wide branches. Weeping willow trees wreak havoc if you do not put them near water. This is why we normally find them, if you see them, like right next to a lake. Like if you can see this, you have the willow tree and then maybe like 6 inches and then the water. Because that's where they're happy. They seek the water out. And if you put them somewhere where there is no water, they will find water, right? Whether it's in your plumbing lines, whether it's in your septic tank, whatever that they have to do, they will do it because they seek out water. It's what they do. And when they do, and they get a chance to grow into their full potential, I mean, just look at them. They're beautiful, and they're kind of, they have this certain mysterious and magical way about them where they just kind of don't look like anything else. And a weeping willow tree knows that it needs water and will constantly seek it out to remain in water. Remaining in God means that He is the vine. You just have to remain in Him to produce fruit. You have been told to remain in Him. Now, what does that mean? I want to use the weeping willow tree here as our guide here. Weeping willow trees do whatever it takes to remain in water. And we need to be Christians that do whatever it takes to seek out God. So it doesn't matter if we get planted in a dry, fertile area. We need to spread our root system anywhere that we can find in the trace of God. And we need to seek it out and go towards it. Because that's what we're called to do. And that is the only way we can live a joyful life, is if we're seeking it out. And look at these trees. When you put them in the wrong place, they rip up cement patios. And they cause these problems and they wreak havoc. But it's like, we are in a crisis state when we are far away from Jesus Christ. Our lives are in crisis when we are not in Him. When we are in Christ and we seek Him out and we are actively pursuing Him, that is the only way to a joyful life. And that's what He's calling us to do here. And we know that this isn't just when it's easy. We're not just supposed to bear fruit when we're planted by water. We are supposed to bear fruit. And he gives it to us first. We are never going to be without water because Jesus is our vine. He told us, "I am the vine." And that's another way, the way I'm looking at this is He's saying, "I'm going to give you what you need. I'm already there. I've already done the hard part. I'm your water source. I am here. You just have to remain in me." And we need to remain in Him when it's tough, when it's windy, We have to keep from falling off, and we have to be steadfast in our faith. And I want to give you a couple scenarios of times to be steadfast. We need to be steadfast when the world hates you, right? Jesus said in John 15 here, he says at the end, the world hated him with no cause. They didn't even have a reason. They hated him. And he said, they will also hate you. So be prepared for it. He's not saying that you can't handle it because he said, I'm the vine. And that means if we remain in him, we can stand up to it and we're going to be all right. But he said the world will hate you. So when the world hates you, we need to remain in him. Remain in me. When others scheme against you. Have you ever had a time where you felt like somebody was actively plotting against you? These things happen. Sometimes it's not always just a person in your life. Maybe it's many people, because as Christians, we live in a fallen world still, and we have Satan. I don't know if you guys have heard, have you all heard of Satan? He's actively scheming against you. That's what he does. That's what he thrives on. He lives a life where he's actively scheming against God, Jesus Christ. He wants to do everything he can to pull as many people away from that. And we need to be aware of our battle as we go into our everyday life. Because we cannot be ignorant to the fact that Satan is going to be trying to speak through other people to hurt us. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to know that. And we need to be serious about it and up in arms. Oftentimes, Chris and I try to balance each other when we get frustrated. You know, you get done with something, you're feeling all heated and frustrated, and emotions are high, and you get in the car to drive home, and you just want to talk about it, right? One thing that we've started doing is we'll pause and be like, this sounds like a Satan thing. And the second that you can recognize that and it sounds like a Satan thing, that's the time to pull the brakes, right? It's time to stop and evaluate and look at what's going on. Because when Satan is scheming against you, we need to hold on tight to what we know. We need to stretch our roots out. We need to find our water source, and we need to pray. We need to be people in prayer, and he calls us to be people who pray in Jesus' name, because there's power in that name, and that's what he wants for us. So when people are scheming against you, we need to do what? Remain in him. So I'm going to give you a list of things, and I'm going to point at you, and I want you guys to say, remain in him. Are you ready? When the world hates you. When others scheme against you. When those around you hate you with no cause. When the going gets really tough. Good. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. Because Jesus says, this is all we are going to do. We are going to remain in him. And the part that makes it the promise is he says, if you remain in me, he says, remain in me. The second part of that is he says, I will remain in you. You are not going to be alone. You are going to be equipped, because he is the one who can equip you for any situation. He is going to be in you. He's going to surround you. He is going to remain in you. He will equip you when you're not equipped. He will strengthen you when you are weak. He will give you words when you don't have words. And he will be with you when you feel alone. He says, you remain in me. Do that first. And do it in all these situations when it's hard. And he says, then I'm going to come and I'm going to remain in you. And there is nothing more powerful than that, than to know that you are not going to be alone. And in Romans 8:31, he says, what then shall we say in response to these things? For if God is for us, who can be against us? And if we do the first part and we remain in him, he will remain in us, and he is for us. Our God, he is for you.